Well, hello everybody and welcome. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel and it's live and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to discuss with us, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been talking this month all about the Word of God and just the subject of the Word of God being Jesus. It's God's testimony concerning his Son. We've talked about the fact we need to read it through the lens of grace, through the lens of the new covenant. If we read it through the lens of the law, we're going to miss Jesus. We're going to miss the grace that God is offering us in Jesus Christ. So we need to have the correct lenses on, and then we really need to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal the meaning. I mean, this is God's stuff. These are God's thoughts. This is God telling us about himself, and that's not something our human minds can fully comprehend. So this is revelation, and the Holy Spirit reveals the meaning of the Word of God to us. So those are the three guiding principles to really understand the Word of God and to get out of the Word of God the very most that you can. So we've looked at all kinds of passages, and today we're going to look at Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11, and Paul and Silas go to Berea. They've been to Thessalonica, and they've gone to Berea. And they're telling the same story. I mean, wherever they go, they're just telling the same story. It's not that they have a different message for each place. Every town that they walked into, every city that they marched into, they opened up and told the people about Jesus. And they reasoned with them from the scripture. So they would go to the synagogues and say, hey, you folks have read the scrolls, you have heard about the Messiah. Well, I'm here to tell you that he's come, and his name is Jesus, and he was crucified just as the scripture said he would be. Mm-hmm. He was buried, and he's raised back to life, and he's ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. So he would tell that story. Well, when he gets to Berea, these folks were really eager to believe the message, but they wanted to know if indeed what Paul was saying to them was true. So in verse 11, it says, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness. And I like that about them. Yeah. They received it with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. In one translation, it says they were examining the scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. And that is so vitally important for all of us. We have slick, polished speakers out there on the circuit today, and they put together slick, polished messages, and they look successful. They look like they have it all together. And we just believe them because they've presented it in such a powerful and persuasive way. Well, that was not the way of the Bereans. They would have taken anybody's message and said, we're going to listen to it. We're eager to believe it. We're eager to receive what you're saying, but we have to know if it's true. And so we're going to take your message and we're going to examine it against what the Word of God has to say. So they knew that their standard of truth was the Bible.
Right.
Now, the only Bible they had was the Old Testament. The New Testament was in process. God was moving in the hearts of these apostles, and at this particular time, probably none of the New Testament writings had been written. So they were relying on the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is a story of Jesus.
Right.
It's all about Jesus. So they listened to what Paul said. They took it down, and then they said, we're going to judge it against the Word of God. And when they did, they found out that what Paul was saying was true. Well, that gave them even more eagerness to receive it and to walk in this truth that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, the Savior of them. Now, that's what we need more of today. I mean, we've got a very, very gullible population.
Yeah.
I mean, there are news stories, and we make judgments about those before we know the facts, before we examine what's really going on. We hear slick politicians say some things, like one said the world's going to end in 12 years, and, you know, people are alarmed by that. But they believe, hey, she knows something.
Yeah.
So, you know, they are starting to spread that word. So we need to examine things, and especially when it comes to messages about God, what he is like, what his character is all about, what he thinks about us. We need to examine those messages, and there's only one place to go to do that, and that is the Word of God. That is the only place that will judge if something is true or not true. So, Richard, you've said it 100 times. I've said it 100 times. We say a lot of things on the Basic Gospel Radio broadcast. We quote the Word of God. We're reading the Word of God. But we don't want you to believe something because we've said it. We want you to believe something because you have examined it against the Word of God, and you have found it to be true based on the revelation of the Word of God. That's when you have a faith that you're on. That's when you have a faith that is genuine to you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has taken those things and actually said, hey, this is true, and I want to teach you more about it. So we need to be like the Bereans and examine the Word of God and examine everything that we hear against the Word of God. It is our standard for truth.
Indeed. And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you could join us today. Call's already on the board, but we still have plenty of room for you. If you're hearing the live broadcast, we'd love to talk about it, whatever the situation is with you. If it's 7 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can call and speak with us right now at 844-322-2742. We're in the final week and a half of January, friends, and many of our donors have already stepped up to support Basic Gospel this month. By doing so, each of them has been able to request this excellent CD series that Bob and Richard have produced. It's called It's All Yours. We want you to have this series, and it's our way of saying thanks to everyone who gives to support Basic Gospel and the truth of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. The bottom line of all this, friends, is that this Basic Gospel message of grace must continue to go forth, and we need you to partner with us to ensure that it continues so that others can hear and believe and live in this good news. Request your copy. It's all yours when you click donate at basicgospel.net. In Canada, donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also donate through the Basic Gospel app and PayPal. Now, the truth of this message is vital to people everywhere, so let's work together to make sure that as many people as possible hear it, believe it, and live in the good news.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to our good friend Clay. Clay, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello, Clay.
Hello. Good to hear y'all. I'm still, first of all, I'd like to say I read that book, Life According to Perfect, by Ralph Harris. I would highly recommend it if you want a good definition of what the true meaning of flesh is. And as seen through the fruit of the Spirit, is just real good. But I have a question concerning the flesh, if that's okay, Bob.
Sure.
Okay, I've been reading Galatians, doing what you're saying, looking at what I'm meditating on in the Word of God, Galatians 2:20, Romans 6:4, and Ephesians 2. Okay, so we're born dead, separated from God, and alive unto sin. Okay, and then through grace, through faith, we become alive in Christ, and we're dead to sin of the flesh. Okay, and I want to hear you comment on. So, what? Explain what is crucified with Christ and what is buried with Christ, as far as the flesh goes. That's my question.
Well, Clay, what I think Paul is saying there, as far as our old man. Our old man, being the guy that was spiritually dead, the guy that, did not have the life of Christ in him. So that guy's dead and gone. and a new one has been raised to walk in the newness of life. This new creation is one that is fully alive in Jesus, who has Jesus living in him, and has a new way to move forward, and that is by faith. That's what Galatians 2:20 is saying. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's the new man. The old man was Bob Christopher without the Spirit of God living in him. That guy's dead and gone. He's never going to show his face again. The day I came to Christ, the day I was born again, the day Christ Jesus came to live inside of me, I became a new person. That old one was gone. So that's how I look at it. Now, we're still housed in a body of flesh. That's not who we are. That's not our identity. But flesh is that stuff that's left over in this physical body of ours that still has the worldly imprint on it, and it still has those old desires. So it tugs at our heart sometimes. That's why we're in a conflict. But that's not me. That's not my identity. That's just remnants of the old that are left in this human body of mine. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think that's a lifelong study to maintain that, of realizing that that we're not the flesh, that's been crucified and buried, but it's the world system that we still have remnants trying to draw us back into us. But thank goodness, greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, a good example is, you know, many of us in January say, I want to lose weight, so we go on diets. And so we try to abstain from sweets and chocolates and chocolate ice cream and chocolate this and are you getting the clue? I like chocolate. And so you could go for a long, long time not eating sugar and chocolates and that sort of thing. And then one day you pass by a store and you smell those Toll House chocolate chip cookies, and you're just drawn into it by the aroma, and then you eat it, and boy, your taste buds and all of that just say yes, yes, yes. I love chocolate, and so your flesh, those that's in your members, as Paul writes, it still likes that old stuff, and it still can be gratified. And so it continues to throw up ideas into our minds saying, hey, remember when we used to have so much fun doing this, that, or the other? And, your mind can say, well, yeah, I do remember. But then your mind can also say, and I remember how rotten I felt at the end of it. So flesh, I'm not listening to you. I'm not you. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I have his Spirit living in me, and he has something a billion times better, and that's his love, his grace, and his mercy.
I'd much rather use smoking as an illustration than chocolate, Thomas. Yes.
Yeah, I like that. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Clay.
Yeah, great to hear from you. Friends, you know, Basic Gospel has a growing online store filled with excellent resources to aid your spiritual growth and maturity in the Lord Jesus. And when you visit basicgospel.net, click Resources, that drop-down menu to enter the store, and the first thing you'll see is a pop-up offering you our free daily electronic devotional delivered directly into your email inbox every month. And inside the store, you're going to find grace-centered books and study guides, audio messages, Bibles, booklets, and tracts, all perfectly focused on the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And you'll find it all under that Resources tab at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday, we got a message, a question from one of our YouTube watchers, Morgan. Mm-hmm. I think you have it. Something about the Masons and the Illuminati.
Yes, indeed. She says what she would like to know is the Illuminati a part of the Masons? Am I correct that it has to do with pagan stuff?
Well, I don't know. It's you know, the Illuminati, the word, conveys this idea of enlightenment, of a special knowledge of something, that's that sort of thing. And it's Gnostic sounding. So it's a group that thinks they're more special than everybody else because they have this enlightenment, this sense of knowledge that the rest of us don't have. And certainly the Freemasons, they organized, and there was a lot of secrets in that. 33 different levels, you move up those levels and that sort of thing. But all of that is to try to move the human up the ladder toward the divine. There's this great word called apotheosis. And that's our word for the day, folks. Apotheosis, and it's the highest point. That's what it means. But it's also the elevation of someone to divine status, and that's kind of been human history. That was the lie of Satan, that you can be like God. So that was their sin. They wanted to be like God. Well, all of mankind has been built upon that lie. That's the foundation of humanity. We're trying to do everything that we can to be like God. And so these different groups have organized around what they believe is secret knowledge that only they have that moves them up that ladder to a divine status. It's interesting, in Freemasons, they have 33 different levels. Why do they come up with 33? That's the number of vertebrae in the spine. You start at the base and you move up to the mind, that sense of enlightenment. And once you've arrived, then you are enlightened. You've become that divine, you've reached that divine status. And so that's the lie of the world system. And it's put out there in such a powerful way that people gravitate toward it. Yeah, I want to be like God. I want to rise up that ladder. I don't want to remain at the status I'm in right now. I want to do everything I can to improve my status. And so we work, we get connected to the right people, we think positive thoughts so the universe can give us positive feedback and reward us and all of these sort of things. All of that is this secret knowledge, this enlightened knowledge that is based on the lie of Satan that will lift us up that ladder.
Yeah.
It's works-based, folks. It's just works-based information, just retooled, so to speak.
Yeah.
We have to realize that we're dead in sin, and God, by grace, is going to give us a status that is far beyond anything any human can achieve through human effort. He's going to give us the status of child of God.
Yeah,
so we have the lies of Satan. That's what the world is built upon. That's what the world is fueled by. And then we have truth. And the truth is that only in Christ can we have life.
Mm-hmm.
Only in Christ can we have eternal life and be with him forever. So don't be sidetracked by all these slick, smooth presentations. They're all based on lies.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate hearing from Morgan. If I'm not badly mistaken, I believe that she's a relatively new believer, and she's posed several questions lately, and they've all been excellent. So
yes,
we appreciate
indeed.
Hearing from Morgan.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to Duran. Hi, Duran.
Hey, Duran.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, it's funny when you was talking about the ice cream. I had just got through working that. Now I'm about to go get me some ice cream.
I'm with you, man.
But I had a question about real quick about Hebrews when Paul said that not laying the foundation on dead works and faith in God. Now I know they were arguing about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Can you give me a scripture where they were arguing about eternal judgment?
Well, you're talking about Hebrews 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. No, that was all a part of, Old Testament teaching that God is going to be the judge. We see in, Hebrews 9 that, when we die, then comes the judgment. So we know that that is in God's hands. And so he's saying, hey, that's just part of the elementary teaching. That's part of the foundational truths. That's already been established as far as you're concerned. Now let's move on to maturity. You can't go back and redo all that. It's already been done. You've already repented. Right. You've already turned from dead works to faith in God. You've already come through all of that. Now let's grow up. Let's grow to maturity. Let's learn how to discern between good from evil through constant practice. Let's just grow up in Christ. So that's what this passage is saying.
Okay, that's what I thought. Cause I know the people he was talking to, they were telling Paul, I heard this, but I need to hear it again. And Paul is basically telling them, I've been through this. I have the letters. Now it's time to move on from this and mature in Christ Jesus. The foundation of the same thing over and over again, so.
Yes, that's exactly right. There's some folks that will look and say, hey, I'm not sure if this really took for me. And so I want to go back through that process again. Well, you can't be born again. I mean, you've been born again, you've been born again. So once you've been born again, now you just have to grow in grace, grow in your knowledge of Christ Jesus, move on to maturity in the Lord. So that's what he's saying here. There's not going to be a better message that comes along. You're not going to have something that is better than Christ. So recognize what you have in Christ and grow up into the fullness of who you are in him.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I got you.
Yeah.
Yes, it does, because he is talking to believers. If you look at the context, people try to twist that scripture and make it seem like you can lose your salvation, but that's not the case at all.
No, not at all. You're not going to... Once you're saved, you're saved. Once Christ has come to live inside of you, he's come to live inside of you. As it says in Hebrews 7, he has an indestructible life. He has given you his life. So if his life is indestructible, it means your life is indestructible. And that's good news. Talk about assurance. Talk about a rock solid foundation. That's it. And that's what you've turned away from dead works to his indestructible life. Now you're not going to get a better offer. So grow up in Christ. That's the encouragement of this particular passage.
All right. Well, thank you, Bob.
All right. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah. Always good to hear from you, Duran. Always good to hear from everyone who calls or writes to give us a question here at Basic Gospel. And that's why we're here, to take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, a quick reminder that as you make your January gift to support Basic Gospel, we have something very special for you. It's what we've been talking about all month, the CD series, It's All Yours. It is our gift back to you for supporting this message of love and grace and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. To make your gift, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, of course, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. And remember, too, that if you have a question, if it pops up overnight, well, our listener line is always open, always available for our Basic Gospel listeners at 844-322-2742. That number is available, as I said, 24 hours daily, 844-322-2742. Remember, also, we're streaming live video on both YouTube and Facebook. We'd love for you to join that growing group. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.